With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Good morning, Game Guy fans. Today is Monday, February 2nd, the year of our Lord 2026. February is already here. We are 1/12 of the way through the year of our Lord 2026. I am JC Sherbert. This is Coffee. Thanks for joining me this morning. Apologies for no coffee on Friday. Couldn't be helped. And just in the interest of full transparency, so you guys know, and gals, no, guys and gals, we do have some female listeners. Our audience skews male, obviously, because it's sports, but we do have some loyal female listeners out there. Got some business stuff going on behind the scenes that may cause there to not be a coffee here and there in the coming weeks, but I think you'll like the outcome of all of it, just in the interest of full transparency. I did get a sinus illness, not as bad as the one that sidelined me for a week in October in the middle of football season over the weekend, but I'm going to power through, hopefully, and it's going around too. I know it's going around down in South Carolina. Hope you all are good to go with the snow. It didn't sound to me like there was a bunch of power outages in South Carolina. Now, the other place I used to live in, Nashville, they haven't had power in like 8 days, which is there are people really upset about it. The guy from Big and Rich is upset, John Rich. So a lot of celebrities are not happy with the net power situation in Nashville, but it does look like South Carolina at least avoided it. And it looked like the whole state got some beautiful snow. I enjoyed seeing the pictures from the coast and the Midlands and the upstate. And, you know, when it does that, it's not so bad. You know, it's not so bad as long as everybody's safe and you have power. It's kind of, I was explaining to my wife, it's a holiday when there's snow. And I know the kids are going to be out of school. I know the university's closed today. Housekeeping there. Shane Beamer was supposed to have a press conference today to talk about the new portal player additions. That is rescheduled now for Wednesday. So on Wide Open Wednesday, we'll have a press conference to talk about from Coach Beamer, Shane Beamer, the head coach of the Gamecocks. I was curious to see what he says about some of these portal guys and this portal class in general. Tough loss for Gamecock basketball men over the weekend. The ladies played tonight at Texas A&M on a kind of a rare Monday night game. A&M's not very good, so I expect the ladies to roll in College Station. But 92-87, LSU avenges the loss to the Gamecocks. Carolina got behind by about 13-14 early, came back. It was a game that probably Carolina let get away. I think it's only Lamont Paris's second loss when he scores over 80 points. But another game where there was very little defense. And I don't know. All I can say is the late night Gamecock show had former point guard Trey Kelly on last night. You maybe want to go listen to that. We don't talk a whole lot of basketball here. But 7-32 in your last 39 games against power competition. It's not going to get it done anywhere in the power league. So it's 2-7 in the first half of the SEC schedule. I believe they go to Texas on Wednesday. Everybody's better. I think too, the league is not as good top to bottom as it was last year, but everybody still looks to me to be better than the Gamecocks. I don't, you know, LSU and Oklahoma are not that much better, but it's just, it's kind of a tough situation right now with men's basketball. Softball opening day is coming up. Baseball opening day, February 13th. That's right around the corner. We're all 2 weeks away. We will have a special from both opening days, is my understanding. JB will be in Columbia broadcasting live from Beckham Field and Founders Park for that. The morning show, packed house, John Whittle on all things. Matt Smith is in to co-host for an hour. Also, Derek Scott, the voice of the Gamecocks. That's going to be a lot of basketball talk as well. as far as all that goes, plus baseball talk, because Derek calls the baseball games. I don't feel any more empathy for anyone else but Derek Scott, because his two teams he calls games for around here, they just he hasn't called very many wins lately. So if there's someone to feel worse for, then we feel for everyone that cares and works hard to do well. It's Derek, and you hope baseball season goes well. Although, and I don't know where these odds came from. SEC Unfiltered or some one of the SEC channels on Instagram had odds to make Omaha, and South Carolina was 15th out of 16 in the league. Most of the predictions do not have South Carolina very high in the 16-team SEC. So, according to the folks that kind of get the big picture of it, they're not as high maybe on the Gamecocks this year as some folks are. Of course, surprised things happen, and you don't count them out. They had a much ballyhooed, highly touted portal class, and so there's obviously some players there. But the injury to McCoy obviously hurts the pitching, and we'll just have to see what happens. I don't want to throw in the towel based on preseason odds, right? You don't do that. And this is a proud program that, should win, but we'll see what happens. I don't want to wish another bad season of men's sports on anyone out here. I mean, so good news is we can get into what how you fix it across the board. Although football, I think, has made some moves in the off season to get there. I don't blame anyone at this point from taking a wait and see approach. Unlike the other two, I mean, Maneri didn't really, I don't want to say he didn't shake up his staff. He's kind of gotten more people involved in different areas and tweaked it, didn't fire anybody, and then had money to go spend in the portal. And then Lamont Paris obviously didn't shake anything up and just had more money to go spend in the portal. And that was the solution. And Jeremiah Donati decided to do that. And that's ADs do that. I mean, that's a legit fix. If you're in your first year as an AD and, you have a guy that's in his first season that was a Hall of Famer, and you have another guy that was a year removed from being the SEC Coach of the Year, you're maybe not just firing after one bad season. And maybe trying to fix it in other ways. And I applaud that. I think that's what good ADs do. But again, I don't know. I don't know what there's not a history there here with Jeremiah Donati to say exactly what would happen. I do know this. I know that when he goes to fix something, the idea is going to be to invest in it. Don't just, hey, we got to go get some savior coach to come save the program. I mean, hire the best coach you can. But I believe there will be a more holistic approach to fixing Gamecock basketball if a change is made. And we'll talk more about that on the show later today, because it's Meatloaf Monday on the show, by the way, with Mad Dog and myself. I hope my nose doesn't fall off between now and then. One of the bad things about all the beautiful snow in the weather in South Carolina was the junior day kind of got torpedoed, but the Gamecocks did have some news. And two in-state guys came in for the 2027 class. We're gonna start looking into 2028 and 2029, maybe here a little bit and on the show. But right now, the focus, the page has to turn to the 2027 class, which is a good class in the state of South Carolina. And as we have talked a ton, the offensive line is very important, and Carolina needs to go get probably five in this class, just for numbers. Because you have so many older players, plus they're going to have to hit the portal next offseason as well at that position. Just looking at the eligibility and the number of older players on the team, which is fine. Hopefully, hey, if this portal thing works out on the O-line this year, that may not be a bad strategy. Let's just go get some offensive linemen from the portal and kind of build it year to year. But the Gamecocks did extend a new offer to in-state offensive lineman Ty Johnson. He is 6'6", listed everywhere between 280 and 300. Looks a little more on maybe 290-ish on film. But look, man, who knows? I ain't got him on the scale. So but built like a tackle, looks like a right tackle to me when you watch him on film. And he's from Mount Pleasant. Lucy Beckham, which was carved out of Wando, JB's alma mater. So he's from Lucy Beckham High School down there. Good feet. I like his physicality once he engages. Long-armed guy, which is what you want at right tackle. Has a chance, has offers from Georgia and a slew of other schools. Look out for Georgia. Georgia's got, Monroe Freeling was from down that way. He wasn't originally from South Carolina, but he went to Oceanside Collegiate and is from the Mount Pleasant area. So you got that down there, and you got some family connections to Georgia as well, as my understanding. So look out for the Dogs with him. And I always say Georgia will come across the border and get some. That's when you're talking about acceptable recruiting losses from within the state, it sounds bad to say, because these two schools are Carolina's quote unquote rivals, right? But you're going to lose some to Clemson. You're going to lose some to Georgia. What you don't want to have happen is your Tennessees of the world, the Texas A&M coming in and buying a guy. I don't know that that's avoidable with anybody in anybody's state, because it happens in Alabama, it happens in Georgia, it happens in North Carolina. I mean, definitely happens in North Carolina. All those kids lead the state, but nobody's really keeping everybody. It happens in Louisiana. Brian Kelly lost a lot of guys from Louisiana, but you want to avoid that if at all possible. But there are some that will go to Georgia and some that will go to Clemson. That's happened for my entire career. Georgia's too close and has too good of a program to completely shut them out. But what you want, once every two or three years, you had a McLeod that transferred down there. They got Channing Tindall. They got Monroe Freeling, who didn't have many ties to South Carolina. So I get it, but you want to, you don't want the Dogs come over and get your top three. That's not going to work. You want to avoid them getting the AJ Greens, right, of the world. And then you want to avoid them out evaluating you on a guy like Richard Seymour, which is what they did, or Tim Jennings, which is what they did back in the day. You want to avoid that too. But you want to make sure that they're not over here getting a guy you don't necessarily want, and then he goes to Georgia and becomes a star. That wouldn't, But hey, you got to get it. You got to live with that a little bit. Now, I'm not saying Ty Johnson's going to Georgia. South Carolina's going to recruit him very hard. South Carolina could end up getting him for sure. I'm not saying it's a done deal. I'm just saying that if there's a team to watch other than the Gamecocks right now, it's definitely the Georgia Bulldogs with Ty Johnson, who just picked up the offer from the Gamecocks. Nate Carson, a four-star offensive lineman from Irmo, also made the trip through the snow. And he set his official visit for that big weekend, Wing Weekend, the weekend of June 19th, where we'll have our annual wing eating contest at CB18 Bar and Grill. Should be a special time this year. They've got a lot of these offensive linemen coming in. Big Nate's coming in. Maxwell Hiller from PA is coming in. Brody Hull is coming in. Junior Saunders is coming in. All those top offensive line prospects from out of state that the Gamecocks have been in on for a while. Hiller's a five-star. Hull should be a three-star. He's really good. And Junior Saunders is a four-star. Nate Carson's a four-star. Had a chance to evaluate Nate Carson's film today briefly, some of his junior stuff. Now, here's what I like about him. He's very quick twitch. You compare him to Johnson, and Nate is a little bit quicker with the punch, quicker not with his feet, because one of the things about Ty, I like flexibility and then soft feet, light feet. He's not clunking around out there. Neither is Nate. Nate just does it a tick faster. Okay, so if you're talking about what if Ty Johnson is a three-star guy or he's ranked below Carson, as a prospect, that's probably why. Now, which one will be better in college? Who knows? It's a talent maximization game. But with Nate, he's just kind of a quicker twitch guy. He plays violently. There were a couple of clips where he's blocking Julian Walker and got his feet in front of him. And we know how good Julian Walker is. Nate's from Irmo, in case I didn't mention that. Four-star guy, about 6'4", 270. He's got some position flexibility. I don't want to I don't want to say this like and get your hopes up as far as like how good this guy could be, okay? Because Jacarius Peake, obviously, three-star guy out of Valdosta and developed at NC State, and he is what he is. But as far as like, is Nate a guard? Is he a tackle? Whatever. Highest ceiling for him would be a guy like Peake, who's about a 6'4" tackle, but long armed, good extension, great footwork, good base, quick twitch, violent engager. And when I say violent engager, I mean when he'll hit you and he's got that punch, he's gonna play physical. Just very impressed with his upside. He's about 160th in the country overall, like top all positions, and a 4-star guy, top 10 prospect in state from Irmo. So, as far as his recruitment goes, I would say, I'm not. I heard a lot of Alabama talk with him earlier. At some point, Alabama fired their offensive line coach, though, and hired a new one. I think they hired Adrian Klemm, who's actually really, really good. But you never know. I mean, Jaden Bryant went to LSU, and a big factor with that was the relationship with Sterling Lucas. He's a defensive lineman. Carson's an offensive lineman. So we'll see. Randy Clements, Sam Searby, Darren Usher, those guys working Irmo, Shane Beamer. So I think Carolina's kind of trending with him at this point, but we'll see ultimately what happens. So South Carolina, even with losing myself included, we were a little concerned. How would the offensive line recruiting go if Lonnie Teasley left? And looks like they hadn't missed a beat. Now they got to get him in the boat and sign him, And Hiller likes the Gamecocks a lot. The 5-star out of Pennsylvania, but will he ultimately get in the boat? Will it be more like Darius Gray, where it's kind of a winding road and they ultimately get him? I don't know. We'll see. I just know they're set up pretty well with that. And, my feel there for Nate Carson is the Gamecocks are trending a little bit. But, before, I don't know that I could say that. I still can't say either Ty Johnson or Nate Carson will ultimately end up in the class. Hopefully they do, though. Hopefully they do. If you're the Gamecocks, you like both these guys quite a bit. Plus, they're in state. So we're gonna switch to the other side of the ball for kind of our main topic today. And this position, especially in the SEC, is very important. And last offseason, I think there was two or three meltdowns on the message board about this spot, but it ended up being pretty good. And yeah, there was a lot on paper that may have told you that it wasn't going to go well. Namely, the coach, Travion Robertson, who coaches the defensive tackles, was out. He got in a very tragic car wreck, almost lost his life. Just so thankful and grateful that Travion's okay. I mean, I covered him as a recruit, and he's a guy that certainly has my respect as a person and also as a football coach. He's got a proven track record of development, and there was going to need to be some development at defensive tackle and some guys that needed to go above and beyond where they had been. That's going to be the case this coming season in 2026 as well. But Jordan Dove, who parlayed that into, and he's a South Carolina graduate, so you always want the Gamecocks to do well, right? He's now the D tackles coach at Kansas State. Kansas State staff, their coordinator and their head coach, they all came from A&M. So I wonder if Nick Barrett's big man touchdown in that game had something to do with it. But he's out in Manhattan, Kansas, and has a full-time, coaching gig. I'm not gonna. Everything's a full-time coaching gig now. What used to be an analyst is now an assistant D-line coach, et cetera, et cetera. But he's out there rocking and rolling as one of the, I guess, one of the 10 big assistants, I guess you're allowed to have. So he's running his own show and certainly is well deserving because I think he did a fantastic job. Nick Barrett, in and of himself, also Monkel Goodwine, really reached his peak. There were games last year, Alabama game comes to mind, where both were very, very difficult to block. Was it as good as when TJ Sanders was? No, I can't say that. I mean, but TJ Sanders is a beast. So was Tonka Hemingway. And those guys, they were also playing their best football their last year. And I think that's the key, especially when you miss in recruiting. And so you have to go portal. The idea is to get the players you get from the portal to play their best football, whether that's a period like Goodwin with 2 years, and hopefully Brownlow, Dindy, and Pikes, who were coming back, who were portal guys last offseason, or whether that's guys that you just develop from the high school ranks. And you're not going to get to everybody. I mean, Xavion Hardy was supposed to be a guy that contributed and just couldn't get with the program and ended up leaving. So we'll see how it all works out there. But the Gamecocks do have some players coming back. And I'll start with Travian. I think Travian being back is a very big key because he's got this proven track record of development, getting guys ready. Guys have to get with the program. He's not going to baby anybody. He coaches just like his mentor, Brad Lawing. Constant movement and practice. It's really just good. And he's done it, Georgia State, Tulane, and now South Carolina. So that's big, getting him back. I don't know what Beamer and Clayton White, I don't know what their plan is for, I guess, Jameel Walker, who's an assistant strength coach by title, but also helped Jordan Dove with the D tackles last year. I don't know if he'll be helping out again, but certainly now you got that flexibility with your coaching staff, and he did a fantastic job last year as well. But there's going to be it's going to be interesting. There's new faces. There's some older, some not so new faces, but all of the guys that were kind of here for a while have cycled out with Nick Barrett. So this is a Beamer group. I think all of them, if I'm looking at this correctly, every single one of these guys was recruited by Travian Robertson. So there's no more, nobody else left that was recruited by anybody else. And this includes portal and high school and all that good stuff. So we'll start with Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, former five-star prospect from Lakeland, Florida. Played more football than he had ever last year. Some say he's the best athlete on the team. As far as pound for pound, kind of a freaky guy, kind of showed that at times, had some nagging injuries that limited his snaps. But what I will say about him, he wasn't always perfect and wasn't always beautiful and all that out there. Certainly, he didn't look like a Dexter Lawrence or somebody like that, but there were flashes. And if you look at Goodwin, who kind of was in the same boat at Alabama, of course, Brownlow Dindy was at A&M. Got in the rotation. Brownlow Dindy played more than Goodwin did in 2024. And then you see how much better Goodwin got. So with Brownlow Dindy, the biggest key for him, besides staying healthy, is take that next step. And with him, it's all about aggressiveness, playing with a mindset on the football field that's different than your mindset off the field. And all that good stuff. And I think he made a lot of progress last year. If you really zero in on him when he played, he made some progress. So that's a big one. That's a former five-star guy for a reason. He's a freaky athlete for a reason. He can be, if he had, if he, if the light comes on and he puts it all together and he stays healthy, you'll hear his name quite a bit. Another guy that was a big portal win in the second window, there's no second window anymore, was Troy Pikes. Gamecocks beat Ohio State and Georgia for him. He's from Georgia Southern. Pikes, part of the rotation, played some, but really became pretty productive down the stretch. He's number 33, which is an odd number for a D tackle, but number 33 last year. Really big plays against Clemson. Had a, probably that was his best game against the Tigers. Quick guy, different than Brownlow Dindy. Not as big, kind of a quicker guy. More so uses his athleticism more so than just his size on the inside. Can shed the block and make plays. Pikes, like again, big recruiting win originally from Atlanta. It's time for him to come on. And I think those two, at spring practice, whenever the first two D tackles go out there, I think those are going to be your two guys. I don't know if they'll be the starters against Kent State or not, but I think those are the guys right now. It's just pencil in because they played last year and they're both pretty good. I mean, you look at the schools that wanted both, either Brownlow Dindy out of high school or Troy Pikes out of the portal. You know, they probably got some raw talent. Just guessing here, but they probably do have some raw talent. Tamiwa Durajaye, I said it right, comes in from Illinois, second team All Big Ten last year. Now, look, this is a guy that when they first brought him in, I had to kind of let go of what he was in high school, because what he was in high school was a kind of a stiff defensive end, just to be honest. Didn't think he had a shot to be an end at a high level at the college level, especially in the SEC. And Carolina agreed, and they backed off. But just like Travion Robertson, now Travion wasn't, I wouldn't say Travion was a stiff defensive end. Travion just got bigger. And that happened. Happened with Melvin Ingram, too. Those Eastern North Carolina guys, right? Melvin Ingram was a linebacker coming in. A friend of mine told me he was a D-end, settled on D-tackle/D-end, one of the best players in program history, really, Melvin Ingram. But Travion grew and became an inside guy, and that's kind of what Tamiwa has done. Travion, of course, stayed with one school for 5 years, and this is Durajaye's fifth, but originally from Delaware, but had kind of a breakout season at Illinois last year. They did a good job developing him. And so this is another one that if he can play his best, take it up a little notch, he could actually start. 6'5", 300 is what he's listed at. Very strong guy, very aggressive player. Looks like he's found a home on the interior. I believe that when he first kind of came on the radar again, I was like, oh, here we go. But after digging into it, you know, I need to just forget about what he was as a recruit, because that I say it all the time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Looking at him, what he did at Illinois, I think the Gamecocks have at least a solid, solid rotational piece. And his strength and size, man, that's I really like that. So there's three. Who's four? Right now, I would say Devontae Miles from Bowling Green. Now, the pickup of Devontae Miles was met with much controversy last year on the message boards, because he came from Bowling Green where he wasn't a starter. He had some plays here and there for the Gamecocks. I think the thing that with Devontae is he's still got that plus athleticism. You know, he's almost a big end in a lot of situations. And we'll talk about Kelby Collins in a second. He's almost Kelby Collins-esque. So, I don't know. I'd put him in at fourth, you know, depending on, is he going to put on the weight? And when he puts on the weight, is he going to be athletic enough? But he did what they call flash at times. And again, the development, get better from year to year. And I think he's still got a shot. He's from Michigan. I think maybe the Gamecocks now have two from Michigan, because the Arnett kid on the offensive line that came in from Ferris State. But Devontae has a shot. I'd pencil him in at fourth. And the reason I'm kind of going in order right now is because that's what you want. You want a six-man rotation up front. Did the Gamecocks rotate six last year? Maybe five, six. I'd have to go look at it. But, yeah, I mean, the two I just mentioned at the top, plus Miles, plus the two you lost, that's five. So, really, they really rotated five D tackles most of the time. And some guys got more snaps than others, and then there were injuries. But you really want four at the very least. Ideally, you do want six, because big guys – well, Muschamp said it. Brad Lawing coached it. Everybody that's been here said it. When the big guys get gassed, it's tough stuff to get them back sometimes. So you want those guys fresh for the fourth quarter, because the offensive line – does not substitute a whole lot. Two intriguing players that I tend to forget about are Christian Ingram and Caleb Williams. These were two Travion Robertson recruits that redshirted last year. It's the same situation as Quay Dodd and Anthony Addison at edge. I just tend to forget about them, and I shouldn't, but I do. Ingram got to play some because he was healthy, and he was not an early enroll guy last year out of high school, Covington, Georgia, but was a player that had Southern Cal, Kentucky was in there. I know that wasn't, you know, it's not, you should beat Kentucky on a defensive tackle from Georgia. Georgia offered him. I don't know if they would have taken him at the time, I think Alabama offered him. He was a late riser, and I love guys like that because it's a lost art to find those guys. Because so many people, they just fill up because you're working towards you're working towards December, and you have summer visits and everything else. And, you know, so everybody's kind of full by the time the season starts. So good job plucking him out. 6'6", 315, my man Craig loves him because he's a big guy. You know, I like him. I think that is he going to be ready for this year? That would be big if he was. If this guy, Ingram, or any of these guys I'm about to mention end up making a play and maybe nail down position four, or get in it at five and they don't miss a beat, that would be big. Still young and still battling for jobs with older players. And that's always a challenge, but keep an eye on him. He's got a chance. And then this guy's heartbreak hotel for Caleb Williams and not the Bears quarterback, the Gamecocks defensive lineman. Carolina won a recruiting battle for this four-star, beat Virginia Tech, who wanted him badly. He's from outside of Richmond, came in with all those receivers for bowl practice last year. Looked good doing it, got a head start, was really a guy that could have been in the rotation. And then, boom, injury, out the whole spring. Worked his way all the way back, and Beamer said it in the press conference. He was about to be on the field, we're about to play him, and he broke his foot in practice. So I don't know what his status is going to be for spring ball, but that's the key with Caleb Williams, his health. Obviously, he's doing some good things when he's healthy because they wouldn't have thought, hey, let's play him otherwise. So just heartbreak hotel for him so far. But, you know, one of two things usually happens here. Either when guys get hurt a couple times early in their career, either it's an issue for the entire time or – you never hear about them being hurt again. It's just bad luck for a year, and then they're fine. So we'll see kind of which at the fork in the road, which direction this goes. Then the two freshmen, Aiden Harris, and I'm going to tell you this right now, Aiden Harris physically, I believe, can step in and play. He's a higher floor guy, naturally strong, a little undersized, I guess, but – cat quick, Tonka Hemingway type of guy. I think there's a reason everybody in the country wanted him. He is a playmaker. He is a mature guy for a freshman, from what I understand. His brother Andrew's coming in, and he'll either be an edge or a linebacker. But Aiden Harris out of Charlotte, North Carolina, D-line heaven. Don't count him out either. I'm very curious to see how – you know, how he adjusts and what he does this spring. He's in early, as is this next guy, Noah Clark, who's huge. Needs to reshape. He's about 330, 340, but you watch him move around at his size. I think my opinion is, and who knows how it'll work out. My opinion is he's a younger guy, kind of baby faced dude, right? So for him to get on the field early, there's going to have to be a maturation physically in a somewhat dramatic way between now and the start of the season. Can it happen? Yes. Will it? I wouldn't bet on it right now. But here's the other part. If you're talking about a path to playing about him, there's nobody else really like him. Brownlow Denny probably be the closest thing. So, I mean, these monster defensive tackles that can move and that are just freaky athletes like Noah Clark, they don't just grow on trees. Durham, North Carolina, South Carolina beat NC State on him. Opinions were mixed as far as the recruiting folks go. On3 had him as a high three-star. 24/7 had him in the top 120 in the country. So I think that's probably, if you think about his range, like floor ceiling, that's probably what, you know, could be a top three round draft pick, could be just a solid college player, you know, when all is said and done. But it's kind of up to him. And then Kelby Collins is a guy, my understanding is he's probably going to play more edge. Like, that's the plan right now. Who knows? But at 6'4", 275, he definitely can slide inside. Built a lot like Devontae Miles, has SEC experience, SEC playmaking experience. you know, we talked about him, we talked about edge and defensive end, but the whole thing for him is what I was told by my Alabama guy, he needs to play like his hair is on fire at all times. So that's another guy that whoever's coaching him, Deion Bourns or Travion Robertson, maximization, get the most out of him. A lot of this stuff's mental. When you talk about veteran players that you got to get enough out of, some of it's confidence. If they hadn't played, highly touted recruit, and they've been humbled, hadn't played a lot. Some of it is just lighting a fire and getting them to have that mentality. You know, with Kyle Kennard a couple of years ago, it was discipline. You know, I think Dimitri, you know, and he had some issues with some penalties and stuff. He had a lot of issues with that at Georgia Tech. But after the LSU game, unfortunately, Kyle wasn't really a big penalty machine anymore. So they got that out of him. And so some of it's little stuff we don't even think about. Overall, can the D tackles be as good as last year? Some things have to happen. And I forgot to mention one guy, and I'm going to mention him now. I wrote everybody down, and I was like, you'll forget one guy if you don't write them all down, and you'll be mad at yourself, and I am. So let's go that direction before we kind of put this in summary. Jordan Thomas. Now, again, see Collins, comma, Kelby. See Brownlow Dindy, comma, Gabriel. You know, feedback from Georgia, great athlete, has some skill, does some freaky things. Does he love football? And, you know, those are legit questions coaches ask and everybody ask. You know, you hear them say that. Well, that's usually the difference between being great and good or being good or poor. Do you love football? Do you enjoy getting out there and playing? Do you give it your all? Do you understand the game? Sometimes younger players come in, they're highly recruited, and then there's a awakening. You want to hope if you're Carolina, this happened to Jordan Thomas. And it's such a shock that you just never kind of recover at the place you're at. That's what happened with Montel Goodwin. Then you go to a new place, new surroundings, new thing. You kind of understand what college ball is all about. It's a new day. And you get it going. I'll tell you this right now. You know, Jordan Thomas, it's either he will play like he loves football or Travion won't play him. I mean, that's just how it goes. I mean, which is good. It's a great way to coach. I'm not saying other coaches on the Gamecock staff have lower expectations as far as who gets snaps than Travion Robertson. It's not a comparison. I just know for a fact the guy's not going to play if he doesn't get out there and do it. So it's an upside game thing for the Gamecocks. I love Jordan Thomas coming out of high school in New Jersey, Don Bosco, very well coached at that level too. So don't rule him out. Don't rule him out. He's a portal guy, but he's a younger portal guy, only going into his third year of college ball, and was at the University of Georgia. So he knows what, you know, winning programs are all about and things like that. So, you know, maybe he ends up being number four when all is said and done. Who is number four? Isn't that from a movie or something? Anyway, can this group be better than last year? It just depends. It just depends. I think on paper, there are more potentially, you know, potential contributors as far as getting to that six goes. But you sort of knew from spring on that Barrett would be good. And you knew Goodwin could step in and start, you know, and then you waited to see on Brownlow Dindy and all that. They're a little, probably a little bit more, it's a little bit more of a question as to the starters, just because we didn't see Brownlow Dindy and Pikes enough to really say. My strong assumption is they'll be the top guys going into spring. Have a little bit of a, my guess would be they'd be the starters against Kent State, but I'm not as confident on that. But there is some competition, and it's more of a deal too, where while yes, Brownlow Dindy and Pikes could be the first guy, I don't know that it's necessarily one of those things where, you know, they're going to be hard to beat out. I mean, I think that what I'm trying to say is a more evenly distributed talent group and some talented guys. And a lot of body types that are kind of new, taller, long-armed, bigger guys in there. Not all, but most. And we'll see what happens. Also, we'll see what happens with Kelby Collins as far as inside or out. All right, that's the look at Travian's trenches. There's trenches, and then there's Travian's trenches. The D tackles heading into 2026. It's a good group. It's a good group. Carolina's got to continue to recruit players at this spot. And, you know, there's a big time dude up in Rock Hill at South Point that for 2027, I think Kirby Smart went there on a helicopter the other day. So it's never easy. You don't want to lose him. And he's for the next class out of South Point and Rock Hill. So that's a recruit to look out for, a defensive tackle. All right, don't forget the morning show. Derek Scott, John Whittle, Matt Smith. It's Meatloaf Monday on the show. Sports Talk tonight, the late night Gamecock show in podcast form is up. They had Trey Kelly on, so go check that out. Rate them 5 stars, Apple and Spotify. We'll have SEC Sunday night up on podcast later today. And, yeah, you can stream the live shows today from 10 to 2, Chief Sports app, YouTube, X, and then Apple, Spotify by 4 p.m. This Big Coffee with J.C. Sherbert on a Monday. I'm out. Holla.